Kristen Glaser is the author of the instant bestseller, Sweat, Uncovering Your Body's Hidden Superpower. After facing a health crisis in his early 20s, he became his own advocate and researched solutions to his challenges. Sweat is the result of his recovery and is part of his mission to share this information with the world. Sweat explores sweat's wildly underappreciated role in health, vitality, and disease prevention. Through expert interviews, scientific studies, and personal anecdotes, it reveals an entirely new way of thinking about our health. Thousands of years, humanity has used sauna and sweat lodges for a diverse set of reasons. From Russian banyas to Native American sweat lodges, our ancestors intuitively understood the power of sweat. And in the modern world, its role is more important than ever, as the last 60 years have introduced an overwhelming amount of toxins into our lives. Sweat breaks down this modern issue and presents how sweat is the overlooked solution. I'm so excited to share with you Justin Glaser. Let's dive in. You're listening to the Super Expander Podcast. Aligned goals are pivotal for expansion. You don't need me to tell you that. But what happens when your flame weakens? What really happens when it totally goes out? Reignite your goals starts with awakening to the emotions that pull you further and further away. Letting go of your shame, denial, and frustration, and figuring out why your body is resisting your goals are the key to success. Regulate your nervous system, release the blocks, and reassess your path forward because your goals are ready to be reset and reignited. Hello, hello, Super Expanders, and welcome back to the show. I am sitting over here kind of sweating a little in my seat here because we're about to have a really exciting conversation. I'm so excited to welcome Justin Glaser to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And you guys are going to find out why I'm sweating so much over here just a little bit, but I'm going to keep you guys waiting a little bit on that. So Justin, I have had the great pleasure of reading your book. I'm really excited to guide everyone or like inform them all about the book and get them really excited so that they are just ready to buy the book and read it themselves. But I need to know who you are on a soul level so we can open up this conversation and fully explore.
Who I am on a soul level. I think like a common thread that I think would define that would be I'm always looking for information and wisdom that's been hidden and trying to make it known. So that's been in my life across a bunch of different disciplines, whether that's I love writing music, playing music. Obviously, this book I've written that we're going to get into, psychology, human behavior. I was into magic when I was a little kid. So that's kind of like the paper trail kind of leads to that statement that I think it rings true.
Oh my gosh. So you're a detective? Is that on a soul level, you're a detective?
I think that's the archetype. Yeah.
I love that. So we're going to share, that's like a similar quality of I'm definitely a detective. In a lot of different ways, it's exciting to kind of like, not take things at their surface level and know that there's always like a deeper meaning. There's more information inside of the cross, like intersections of where things come together and like deeper understanding and multiple different disciplines. So I love that we share that. Magic. You were really into magic. Let's talk about that for a minute.
When I was like little, when I was, I don't know, 8 to 10 years old.
Oh, do we have any magic tricks up our sleeves still that you like really good at?
No, party tricks? I don't think so. Like if I had a deck of cards, I could do a couple of things, but it was definitely like a side interest. It was never like that was my identity. But I think I never thought of that, but that kind of applies also to the thing. So music was a much bigger part of my life and still is, but that was, you know, all those kinds of things. Other interests, whether it was like chess or spelling or whatever it was kind of a similar, like, what, how's this work? And what's like the secrets behind it?
Okay. I love this. Okay. So music has been like a big piece of your life. Well, so I would love for you to kind of connect the dots for me then, because I'm sure everyone heard as I read your bio before we hit record here to like open up the dialogue is that you are the author of a book called Sweat,
So connect the dots on how that became something that you wanted to share with the world. There's got to be a story behind what drove you to write that book.
Yes, I think growing up, I was a very particular eater. And so my diet was very bad. It was just like definitely bottom 5th percentile of like foods. And so I think by the time I hit college, that kind of caught up to me and my health was just in a bad place. By the end of college, it felt like a lot of fatigue, brain fog, anxiety, automatic negative thoughts, just this kind of like nothing that they'd sent me to the hospital for, but was really affecting my quality of life. And I became committed when I graduated to really figuring it out, like get to the bottom of it. Obviously, I started with nutrition, but by that point, it wasn't really, definitely helped, but not significantly. And I went down an obsessive kind of rabbit hole to figure it out. So that was Western doctors, Eastern doctors, supplements, diet changes, exercise, acupuncture, Reiki, whatever, just everything, trying to figure out how I can feel better. And eventually, after about a year of that and nothing really making a dent, I went into a sauna and on the advice of a friend. And after like 30 minutes and doing and going into the shower, I felt more relief from that than all the other stuff. And I had no idea why. And so I kept doing it, but while doing it over the course of the next 18 months, that became like a research project to, you know, understand the mechanism for why that was helping me so much and what was wrong in the first place. And kind of came to this thesis behind it that I hadn't seen really talked about outside of very, very niche communities. And it just kind of nagged on me that no one had put it together this way. So I decided to kind of collate those ideas and put it into a book.
So let's talk about, let's give a high level summary, because of course we want everyone to actually read the book. And like there's, you can listen and you can hear little tidbits and juicy nuggets of things, but you know, it's really important for everyone to kind of like, you know, read and digest the information. So let's give a high level summary of like what's really going on when you go inside of a sauna and why that made you feel better.
So the kind of that like one like paragraph or one sentence thesis really is, there's a massive underestimation of the toxin issue that's kind of hit the world in the last 60 years, affecting every form of mental and physical health in different levels. And that sweat actually is the best way to detoxify these substances largely. And so the book is kind of split between those two components, between what is this toxin issue? Is it really a thing? I thought it was like a fringe thing before really delving into it and then realizing the significance of it. And then sweat, the research coming out over the last 20 years, really proving that the body, really a lot of these things can't get out unless through sweat. And so the importance of regular sauna use or other forms of sweating. Yeah.
Okay. So I read your book and I was a couple of things that was really fascinating. First of all, I loved the connecting the dots of the history of sweat and a piece of like the social aspect of it too, especially like in the Scandinavian culture with, which we, I mean, there's like saunas and baths and all this. And it's what I started to think about was like really interesting is that I don't think that I've ever taken the time to think about all of these cultures where it is drenched, literally drenched in their culture to sweat together and to do it in a very restorative fashion. Cause I feel like here in the US, a lot of how we approach it, it's like, okay, let's get outside, let's go for a run, get it out, do the thing, check a box, move on. But there is also like this highly therapeutic piece of like the social aspect. So I want to touch on that. And then I want to talk about this niacin flush. I actually had not ever heard of that prior to reading your book. So what was your biggest takeaway in terms of like the social aspect of sweating and all of that when you were doing your research for the book?
I think, you know, that like 2-year period where I was just diving, like immersing myself in like the health world and understanding what I was really becoming like a, my own test subject for all these different modalities and trying to heal. And there's so many fads and things that kind of come and go. So it was really confirming to see, like you just said, the history of sauna and the history of sweat lodges and how cultures around the world for centuries have been using this for, like you said, bonding, for initiation rites, for healing, for trauma release, for all these different purposes. From Native American sweat lodges to Russian banyas to, you know, Peruvians, the Finnish, all these cultures separately had intuitive understanding of the value in this. And so it's not some new biohack. It's something we've used forever. But now with the last 60 years and what's happened, it's become more important than ever for that toxin related component we just discussed. So I think the most surprising thing was just how prevalent it was around the world, and that cultures that hadn't touched, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago all had some form of this. So, you know, it's this ancient technology.
For you, in your journey using saunas and sweating, how quickly was your transformation in terms of like the things that were going on that were holding you back from a health context? How quickly did that impact you? Outside, I mean, I know you felt that you felt the effects instantly right after, but when did you start to like really understand like the long range effect for you?
I think it was over the course for me personally, like 6 to 12 months. And it was probably, if you drew like a chart of like how I felt, it would kind of be this upward thing kind of gradually going up. And for me, I think what happened was because of how I treated myself, my detox pathways weren't great. So it hit me harder than most people. And then by getting to get all that out, give my body relief, all these other things kind of fell into place. And what was cool is all these other modalities and things I tried to help that weren't as helpful at the start, once I got that foundation done, became helpful. So like meditating when you have like a high toxic load, it's really difficult because it's related to the automatic negative thoughts. And so when you detox, then you go back to meditating and it's like a different experience. And so, yeah, it's interesting how I was doing that the whole time while also bringing back some of the other things that were helping.
So I want to talk about this negative thoughts coming from detox pathways, because interestingly enough, I mean, so I breathwork coach, which is rooted in meditation in a lot of ways. There's a lot of detoxing that just comes through breath, but mm-hmm. I don't think that I knew or understood that like this was a thing, that having closed off detox pathways actually causes sort of like negative thought loops.
Well, the idea like abstractly would be, even if your detox pathways are working well, because of how much exposure we have, and I break down, I think you remember like the categories of where we're getting hit with toxins. A lot of them are lipophilic, so they're fat loving, so they'll store in the brain and cause effects. And so there's some interesting research on that. And then experientially talking to people who've had the same experience as me, it's not the only source of what can be causing, you know, negative thoughts or anxiety or things like that. But it certainly seems to be like, let's get that out of the way to make sure that that's not the cause in terms of like the process of getting rid of it. So yeah, the brain's 60% fat. A lot of these chemicals are lipophilic. They'll store there, and then that can cause issues, you know,
like toxic brain. So I also knew that toxins really get trapped into our fat cells.
Yeah.
And as sometimes we start to lose weight and that breakdown, that's why a lot of times like weight loss or even like keto, people start to feel that keto flu situation happening. So that I knew. And it was also one of those things when I was reading your book, I was like, oh, I never even like considered that. Like I actually did know the brain was made of fat. But somehow you start to think that because like it's above the shoulders, it's not like in your body, that it doesn't go there. So this was like a aha moment or penny drop moment, if we will, in that.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I think looking back at it, the what I'd like to see is just better ways to test. So if you step on a scale, you have an accurate sort of weight reading. But if you want to get like a toxin test, like what's my toxic load? What's in my body? What kind of heavy metals, forever chemicals, BPA, BPS, all these things that have different terrible effects. If you do like a blood test versus a fat biopsy versus like a hair mineral test, you're going to get different readings and they can kind of point to what's going on, but it's not like scanning someone and getting, this is what's in your body, because it distributes differently for different reasons. And so, you know, I think some people, for whatever reason, maybe more goes to the fat in their body, some goes to the head. It's not really clear explanation. But again, when it goes back to the people I spoke to in my own personal experience, it's really clear the link. You mentioned the niacin sauna protocol. For that, I spoke to a range of people. In the book, I focused on 9/11 victims, but I also spoke to heavy metal victims, people who took MRIs and got gadolinium poisoning, which is a very toxic, neurotoxic heavy metal. and neurological symptoms, bipolar symptoms, all these things that through that protocol specifically, they were able to detox by getting it out of the brain. So you have these kind of clear, extreme examples that paint a better picture for sort of, you know, the average day-to-day person and how it can help them.
So have you ever tried that protocol?
I did. I did it 4 months ago, 6 months ago.
Yeah. How did you feel before, after? What was your experience like?
Yeah, I think for me, my most notable differences were it used to take me like 15, 20 minutes when I woke up to kind of feel clear. Mm. And after that protocol, I just kind of immediately would wake up with like a sense of like, I'm awake. And so that was the main difference for me. Everyone reports different things and it depends what you've done beforehand, but that was kind of my biggest takeaway from it.
Okay. So how often can someone do that sort of protocol?
It's the current research shows that it gets about 30, like a third of your stored toxins in your system out. Again, yeah. it's like an estimate and we don't have that much clear data for it. But the idea is you can do it like, say like once a year and you're fine.
Yeah. I want to clarify, this is something that someone could do almost like on their own, or do they need to go to a doctor to do it?
Well, a doctor won't do it with you. A coach will. So the person I interviewed for the book, another person I interviewed for the book, his father ran that 9/11 niacin sauna protocol, which we'll come back to it, I guess. But he coaches people virtually now. And so there are subtleties to doing it that it makes sense to work with someone between the timing, the dosage, the supplements, the binders, the sauna. Like it should be supervised, though it is a rather, you know, if you're doing it right, there's not really risk.
Understood. Okay. I love this. Okay, now I'm ready to like go do like a liver detox and then go do that afterwards. And I say that because just a few weeks ago, I was interviewing somebody on a liver detox and I'm like, I'm about to just like completely purge my body of all of the toxins and I'm ready to feel so energized and like a brand new person now.
That's a big, like, and again, everyone has different experiences, but when you do the niacin sauna protocol, there is that sense of like the limitless pill thing, because you're getting so much out that's blocking that natural state. So it's a pretty empowering theory, which is like, you're meant to feel fantastic. And once you get the stuff out that's blocking that, you kind of go back to that state. Like when you look at little kids, they're not dealing with this stuff, but it just accumulates. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So how often do you get out there and sweat?
I have a sauna at home, so I try and do 3 to 5 times a week, like 20 minutes of heavy sweating. So
heavy
maybe in
sweating.
There.
For, yeah.
Yeah.
Feels yeah. really good. So it's been such a game changer for you and your health. Okay. So when you wrote this book, what is your, like, I guess, like overall mission, or like, what are you hoping to achieve by sharing this with the world?
Well, I think that the thesis is so overlooked, which is because this is such a major issue. First, let's believe that this chemical thing is a major issue. And so like toxins are substances that reliably, predictively cause problems in the body. And we've now linked it to everything. So where are all these autoimmune issues? Where is all this stuff coming from that's new? We can at least point a lot of it to this. And hey, we have this amazing natural mechanism for getting it out that most people don't treat that way. And so I want it to kind of culturally take over for that reason, where people say, I need to make this a part of my life for those reasons. So that one, I, you know, on the subjective side, I feel way better, but two, I'm preventing things down the line that are largely linked to these issues I'll be dealing with now. So it's kind of those two buckets of how you'll feel, but also what you'll prevent.
I love that. So you're on a mission to really improve the health of all the human beings on this planet. I appreciate that as a health, someone who's been very entrenched in the health world for, I don't know, the last 25 years or so. I'm sitting here thinking about, like, this is kind of a big deal. You did a lot of research, a lot of legwork to create this content, to create this book, which, you know, A, takes a lot of work and a lot of, you know, courage to put your work out into the world. So there had to have been along the way someone who has expanded you into kind of taking this role on. I'd love to hear a super expander story from you.
when I was struggling kind of in my like mid 20s, trying to figure out my health, and it was causing all these issues. Like I said, I went and tried a whole bunch of things, and some were helpful, some weren't. One of those was a teacher named John DeMartini, who, you know, his mission statement for life is he wanted to have the most diverse, in-depth knowledge of human behavior on anyone on the planet ever. And so he set out on a mission to do that starting at like 18, where he just studied everything under the sun, consumed like 30,000 books, every discipline, and kind of created like his own model of how human psychology works. And so those tools were helpful. I think you need to detox before doing them, but his kind of singular vision and willingness to kind of pursue what he wanted to pursue was definitely expansive for me.
So he was actually your teacher?
I read his books. I went to a couple of his events, and I've kind of like sit at his feet.
Yeah. So I love that, because I think that, I mean, truly, what, as human beings, we're all kind of put on this planet to pursue interests, educate ourselves, and not really put, I don't know, like so much power into everyone else. Like, you know, like the construct of like, hey, go to school, learn this stuff, go get a job, do the thing. It's like, we really are meant to dive deep, to educate ourselves, to create innovation through intersections of our own learnings. And so I think that's like such a big deal. And that's a piece of like mastery, of like mastering life. I don't know if you're a fan at all of Robert Greene, or if you've read any of his books, but a big piece of that is really like following your interests and going deep. And as a detective, it seems very fitting. So do you have any other books on the horizon, or what's your next, I don't know, obsession of what you're learning about and diving deep into?
Sure. Well, I mean, my goal right now is really, this has been, there was writing it, there's putting it together, then there's been marketing it and putting it out there. So my goals with the book right now are spreading it in retail locations. So getting it into, you know, places around the world. There's actually a sauna. I just found this today, something called Sauna Shulin, like the Michelin for saunas. And so there's like the top like 40 sauna places in the world. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to reach out to all those and get my book into those locations. So there's like that push. There's just a lot of marketing pushes that require my attention where I can't think about the next book, but it would probably be something around those ideas I just shared around John DeMartini's work, because I think it's, you know, this other gold mine of information.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. You actually are making me think of like all the places, like the retreat places all around the world. I'm actually like specifically thinking of one in Bali right now that I cannot, like the name of it is evading me. So I'm like wondering if it's on that list.
My brother literally today just sent me a couple of places in Bali to reach out to.
Paradise, Sana, maybe?
What's that?
Itsana?
Itsana? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think Itsana. And it's not in Ubud. I think it's actually in Uluwatu, or like on the edge of Uluwatu. Yeah.
I haven't been yet. My brother's obsessed, so he's trying to get me to go. Titi Batu is one.
Titi Batu. I've heard of that one. Yeah, yeah.
And Nirvana Life. Those are the two he sent me today.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like now you just need to go on a book tour. That's what a fun way.
Right. Yeah. I need to go to those 37, the world tour of the sauna locations.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I feel like we must have piqued some interest. Everyone is listening is like, oh my gosh, I definitely now need to read this book so I can understand the power of sweat, how it's going to impact my health, and, you know, how I can apply it to my day-to-day life. If people are listening and dying to get their hands on your book, what's the best way for them to do that?
So Amazon is really the only location I have it right now. So I've got it in Kindle, paperback, hardcover, and then audiobook is uploading. So we'll have those four versions there.
Amazing. Okay. So I'll make sure that link is down in the show notes. And if anybody was like, oh my gosh, I also just want to ask you a question, what's the best way for them to find you?
Twitter, hey, Justin Glazer, and then email me at justin@sweatthebook.com.
Amazing. All of that will be down in the show notes, of course, for everyone to easily access. I appreciate you, your time, your wisdom for like doing all of the legwork and researching this and like putting it all in this like beautifully compiled way for us and digestible way for us to learn everything we need to know about sweating, detoxing, so that we can be the healthiest versions of ourselves. If there was one juicy wisdom or like nugget of wisdom that you could leave us with, what would it be?
From the book?
Just something you want to share, like parting words you want to leave everybody with.
Parting words.
Could be a favorite quote. It could be something from your book. Just how do you want to close it down?
There's a good, well, like we said about this being, you know, old information kind of coming back for modern importance. So one of the quotes is, "Give me a fever and I can cure any disease," by Hippocrates. So it's interesting to see thousands of years ago, the use of getting hot for healing. Yeah.
And just right? I mean, it's like so simple. We try to complicate so many different things by putting things in our body from, you know, supplements and all the things, now that they don't have a place. But sometimes it's as simple as just sweating it out to feel better.
Yep, for sure.
Thank you so much, Justin. I appreciate you. And we will catch you on the next episode.
Thank you. That was great.
Like a fire needs oxygen and fuel, you're not meant to reach your goals alone. Your missing part could be as simple as finding the right community. And if it's not my community, there's definitely the right one out there for you. If you're looking for a place to start, check out the link in the show notes and let this community help you breathe in fresh oxygen.